Me podcast. My name is Karsten, and I am an engineer and millennial who is finding her footing while becoming the highest version of herself. If this is your first time here, thank you for trying out the podcast and giving us a listen. And if you are returning, you are not new to this, thank you so much for coming back, and I hope that you are ready for another great episode. So I wanted to make this episode specifically because I know that it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I've been in EMDR therapy for the past few months, some months now, and I know that therapy is something I've talked about on the podcast before. I've talked about it in episode 5 on learning about therapy and kind of getting introduced to your healing journey and what is that going to look like and some of the expectations that you should have. And I know that I've seen a lot of conversations specifically on threads about people asking about EMDR therapy, you know, what it is, what does it actually involve. And I think that this is a great opportunity to kind of touch back on therapy and give that information because a lot of people are curious about it and I've been finding a lot of benefits from it. So let's get into the episode. The first time I was in therapy, it was more of talk therapy. I used BetterHelp to find my therapist, and really it was just the first time experiencing it and kind of understanding, okay, what does therapy really involve? And what I appreciated about that experience was that I was able to really talk about the things that were on my mind and some of the things that I felt were not really being spoken about. I was dealing with some stress with work because I was newer to the role. I think it was only maybe a year or two in, and I was still experiencing some of the stress and the anxiety and the worries and doubts that I had in college. And I didn't have the best way of speaking about it then. I didn't have the right words. And therapy was really an opportunity for me to have the help that I needed and to really have a listening ear. And so in episode 5, you can kind of listen to that and get a feel for what that first experience was like. Fast forward, it had maybe been a year, maybe 2 years at that point that I hadn't been in therapy. And it wasn't that I didn't know how to talk about certain things or that I didn't necessarily know, you know, who to go to if I was having a tough time, but I was still dealing with some of that stress and anxiety that I had noticed before. And I was able to get an understanding of, okay, where is it coming from generally? You know, when do I feel stressed? When do I feel anxious? And I knew that there were coping mechanisms that I had learned through that first experience with therapy, but I really wanted to get to the root of the issues that I had. And even beyond that, I still had a lot of limiting beliefs that I was holding on to. And so I really wanted to have a different experience with therapy. When I was using BetterHelp, it was good. You know, I had a great therapist. She was definitely there to hear me out, to listen to my experiences and offer up a word of advice. But I felt that I was reaching a point where I wasn't really getting much. That's the idea of therapy. At a certain point, you may not need the same amount of time with your therapist. Maybe you transition and talk about different things, but generally once you get to a point where you feel that you've gotten the healing that you need, where you feel like all the concerns that you've had have been addressed, and specifically any concerns that you lay out with your therapist initially, ideally that's the point where you would move on. And there's nothing wrong with moving on. You know, if you are in therapy right now and let's say you're getting to that point of feeling like you have the answers that you need or feeling like you have a solution or you've reached a resolution and you can move on, it's perfectly okay. And I don't think the idea of therapy is that, you know, you stay in therapy forever. One misconception that I think we should address is the timeline of therapy. So EMDR therapy, it stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing, and it was developed initially in 1987. The difference between EMDR and traditional talk therapy is that you really have to expose yourself to past traumas, and trauma doesn't necessarily have to look one way. one thing I learned is that things that maybe somebody said to you in the fifth grade can be a source of trauma. What's different with EMDR therapy is that it allows you to reprocess some of that trauma or to actually address things that you didn't realize were issues that somehow found a root in you and became those limiting beliefs. The more you actually talk about those past traumas and you address them and you understand the root causes, it makes it a lot easier to deal with other instances. And when I was first getting into EMDR therapy, we were just doing regular talk therapy initially. And really that was kind of an intake stage. So my therapist understanding what my concerns were, understanding some of the issues that I was experiencing, and just generally collecting that information and that data to be able to know what it is that I needed. And so when you're going through that process of getting the data, you're really going through past experiences. What's interesting about EMDR therapy is that you're not just talking about the things that you've experienced, but you're really trying to understand that mind-body connection. So essentially, anything that happens to you that is traumatic, that is distressing, it typically will bring up some type of sensation. So it could be a feeling of anxiety, or maybe you start sweating, maybe your heart starts racing. There's something that's happening and it brings up that emotion or that feeling in your body. If you go through EMDR therapy, you'll get a lot of questions, but the typical questions are, what are you feeling? Where are you feeling it in your body? On a scale of 1 to 10, how distressing is it? Just really understanding, how do you feel in this moment? And with EMDR therapy, the goal is to eliminate any of that distress that comes from thinking about past instances or scenarios that maybe were more traumatic than you realized, or at the very least stuck with you, and stuck with you to a point where you weren't able to process them. One thing I had to get comfortable with is understanding that trauma can look really different for everyone, but some of the things that traumatize us as kids, when you're thinking about it in hindsight as an adult, it doesn't seem like it's the biggest thing, or you can rationalize yourself out of this and not really get in touch with how you were feeling. But with EMDR therapy, you really have to go there. It's only going to work as much as you're willing to put your full effort in, but also as much as you're willing to acknowledge what you're feeling. And you can't censor anything with this type of therapy. So let's say you're thinking about a past situation that was traumatic, right? And keeping in mind that your end goal is to address the limiting belief that's coming up, to understand where you're feeling sensations in your body, but ultimately to be able to move past it and fully process what you weren't able to process. One past instance that I had brought up earlier on in our sessions was around my time in middle school. I dealt a lot with insecurity, so I had a birthmark on my leg. Obviously, I still have a birthmark on my leg. And at the time, I was really insecure and self-conscious about showing it, about letting people see it, because I was worried that other people were going to say something about me, either look at me weird way, judge me, cast me aside. I was just worried that people were going to treat me poorly because I was different. And that difference was something you could visibly see. It wasn't anything that other people around me had. And so it was really ostracizing. And at the time, it was kind of scary. And I had a lot of stress and anxiety and insecurity around that. And one instance was in middle school. It was PE. I think I forgot a pair of pants. And typically, I just wore pants, like yoga pants or sweatpants or something, because again, I wasn't wearing shorts because I was trying to hide it. And it was the first time I had to wear shorts, like regular basketball shorts, to PE. Which, if you're just explaining this scenario to somebody else, it really seems pretty cut and dry. Like, okay, yeah, you forgot your sweatpants, so now you gotta have shorts on because you need to wear something. But at the time, it felt like the scariest thing that I'd ever done. It felt like I was going into this period of judgment and I was gonna be the center of attention for a negative thing. And in describing the scenario and the negative beliefs or the things I was thinking about myself, I was thinking that I didn't belong, that people weren't going to like me or accept me because I was different. And talking about the scenario, again, being open and not censoring anything, I came to a realization that a lot of the things I was telling myself at that time, I was literally just telling myself. There wasn't anybody who said anything negative to me. Nobody did anything negative to me. But because of all of the stress and the anxiety, and really because I was protecting myself, falsely protecting myself, I would say, I was almost gearing myself up for some type of rejection, or gearing myself up for some type of like confrontation or just something negative to happen because I was scared. And so when I was done with PE that day, I remember I was in the locker room and I was just crying. Like, I just felt so alone and insecure, and I didn't really know how to describe it, but I didn't realize it then. But now that was a type of trauma that I experienced that wasn't fully processed. And it's nice to have those experiences and be able to talk to them with somebody who's able to get you through that, because EMDR therapy can be very intense. There's some sessions where, you know, it's a little more cut and dry. There's a past instance you're talking about or a scenario, and maybe it's not the worst thing, or maybe it's, you know, it doesn't make you feel as distressed. But you have some of those days where you bring up another scenario, and the amount of feeling or the type of response that you get, like within your body, is really surprising. And I would just say, anyone who is thinking about EMDR therapy, it is great, it's effective. I don't think it's a type of therapy that's necessarily for everyone, if that makes sense. And it does take some getting used to. EMDR therapy can help with a range of challenges, and these include anxiety, depression, grief and loss, performance anxiety, disorders, and the list goes on. And really the goal is to help you unpack and address unprocessed trauma. It's also considered to be a treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder. So it can be very effective, but it does require you to go there, to go deep, to maybe address and talk about the things that you didn't want to, because it can be uncomfortable. EMDR therapy requires you to process things, but the way you process it can be different. So we talked about asking yourself the questions. How do you feel? Where do you feel it in your body? On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it? Again, it's that mind-body connection and understanding how your nervous system is operating. But also, the goal is to reset your nervous system, to change the way that your brain is responding to these types of incidents. So anxiety, let's talk about anxiety for a bit. So you can feel anxiety for a lot of different reasons. I know I had test anxiety in the past. I sometimes have anxiety when people call me on Teams, or I have anxiety that comes up when I get an email. And in all of those instances, what's happening is that my body is responding in a way that maybe isn't appropriate. And it's because of past experiences. It's because I have to find different ways of coping. But my body is responding. I'm feeling anxiety. And that can show itself in different ways. It could be nervous sweating, maybe your hands start shaking, maybe your heart starts beating fast, but there's something that's happening in your body and you are learning how to recognize it, how to identify where it's happening, and essentially learning how to get it out of your body, learning how to process it through. When you're going through your incidents, like past traumas, and you're processing them, it's not like traditional talk therapy. So you're not talking the whole time. You can take breaks, or you can switch, transition to talk therapy if you need, or maybe if the topic is a little more sensitive. But as you're talking about these incidents, you're trying to have your body respond. So it could be, you know, you're talking about a situation and your therapist has you tap on your shoulders. So you tap in kind of a slow rhythm, and they're asking you, how do you feel? They're asking you to bring up a picture of the incident. They're asking you to really walk through it and tell them how you feel. So sometimes you do some tapping. Sometimes it'll be eye movements. So they could have like a ball or a screen. I've been using a screen and it has kind of like this ball that flashes, but you're basically following it with your eyes, and you're using your cognitive senses to process that trauma. It's hard to explain, but it could be through sounds, tapping, noises, but you're talking about this incident and you're processing it in a way to where, okay, you're reliving this and whatever thought comes up, whatever emotion is coming up, you need to be able to tell your therapist and explain it to them so they can help you process it. The result of treatment with EMDR is a decrease in emotional distress, a reformulation of negative beliefs into positive, life-affirming beliefs, and a resetting of their nervous system. So you can think about it as kind of flipping the script. Whatever negative narrative you told yourself, limiting beliefs you're holding on to, you're trying to get rid of all of that. And it takes time. It's not an overnight process. But because it's so effective and because it does help you identify so many limiting beliefs, like root beliefs, things that you didn't even realize you were holding on to, it makes it easier to deal with other instances or other traumatic scenarios that maybe you experienced in your life. And also, EMDR therapy can't be done without someone who's trained to actually provide EMDR therapy. So it's not something that anybody can just pick up from Google and try to give you. There's a training that needs to be done. And for most therapies, I would say, you know, you need to be a trained therapist to provide that service. I wanted to get into some of the lessons that I have been learning from my experience with EMDR therapy. And really, EMDR therapy, it's not like anything I've ever done. This is the first time I've gone through it. Again, it's been a few months, but it's so much more challenging, I would say, than traditional talk therapy, because I have to address those instances that can be hurtful or instances that they just don't feel great to talk about. But the healing that I need and the healing that I want is going to come through addressing those situations. And with talk therapy, when I was using BetterHelp before, I didn't feel like I was really getting to the root issues. Again, it was nice to talk about what I was feeling, what I was experiencing, and getting general advice and things like that. But it didn't feel like anything was changing. And what I really wanted was a real, like, deep spiritual, mental change. I wanted to change the way that I thought about myself, the things I said to and about myself, the way I walk in the world. I just wanted to finally get rid of the baggage that I felt like I was holding on to for so long. And really, this came at the perfect time. And I was really nervous at first because I didn't know, you know, what it was. But the more my therapist explained, you know, what it involves and what it does for you, it made more sense. And I felt more comfortable giving it a shot. But it's been great so far. And we've really been working pretty fast. So, like I said at the beginning, when you start EMDR therapy, you kind of go back to your earliest memories and bring up, you know, anything that happened that stuck out to you that you remember as being traumatic. Like, one random thing that I brought up was kindergarten. I had fallen off of a chair and I had to get stitches because I busted my chin on the floor. And at the time, yeah, that was traumatic, but talking about it and tapping on it, kind of doing like the audio, visual, sensory actions to bring up the memories and to explain them, I realized, okay, that was a lot more connected to certain things that I feel, you know, than I realized, and that was in kindergarten. So the first thing that I've learned in therapy is that trauma isn't one size fits all, and it's really easy to downplay or hide the things that negatively affect us. So with that example of, okay, this happened to me in kindergarten, so why does it bother me so much? There's that mind-body connection, again, that's happening. So the trauma that you're feeling, it is trauma, right? It doesn't need to look like something big or something major in order for it to really be a trauma that's affecting you. Trauma is a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. I think when we talk about distressing, you know, situations, people can bring to mind, you know, trigger warning, of course, for talk about, but people can think about death, any physical injury, bodily harm, like something that's actually doing physical harm to you. And we get stuck on that just being trauma. And I feel like we downplay the traumas we experience because even something like
somebody saying something mean to you or somebody just not speaking to you in a nice way can be traumatic. Depending on where you are, what the situation is, that's still a trauma, right? That's still something that's distressing you. It might not look like bodily harm, but that's still trauma that's happening to you. And with trauma, the key to it is that the situation that's happening, it's either difficult to cope with or it's a situation that feels like it's out of our control. And so that's where the trauma comes in. Where it's unprocessed is because, let's say we were young when this thing happened. We don't really have the tools or the information or the knowledge to be able to work through it. But those instances where something bad happens and we think something bad about ourselves, those can become limiting beliefs that hold onto us and stay with us until we're able to address them at a later time, which EMDR therapy is great at doing that. One thing that's important to note is that our desire to actually heal from those past hurts and those traumas should match our desire to confront them. And there's so much work that people don't do and so much healing that's left undone because sometimes we can refuse to really go there. And I would say that I feel like EMDR therapy, it's really requiring me to like go all in, to not leave a stone unturned, to really be honest about how I feel. And sometimes that can be scary. Sometimes it can feel weird. But I know that initially when I got started, I wanted to get a handle on those bigger emotions. So let's say a distress happens, I just get really anxious, I get really nervous, something happens. And instead of removing myself from it, instead of just going into a corner and like not doing something, I really want to take the time to, okay, work through it. What does this mean? Where is it happening? What am I feeling? And like work through it. I need to be willing to do that. And I can't shy away from those uncomfortable feelings. And I don't think therapy ever really is supposed to be comfortable. I think you're supposed to be comfortable with your therapist, with the environment that they're creating, and establish that relationship so you can trust them. But therapy itself isn't supposed to be comfortable. We can sell ourselves short in our own healing just because we run away from something that makes you feel a little scared. You run away from something that makes you feel like you just don't have control over the situation. But you need to do that. Especially if you're doing EMDR therapy, you need to let go of control and let those thoughts, let those emotions come up naturally so you can do something with them. I don't think we should understate how hard therapy can actually be. Yes, it's nice to establish that relationship with your therapist and to create that environment where you feel comfortable and just get the help that you need. But therapy can be really hard work, and EMDR therapy can be draining. Some days, if I, you know, talk about a certain incident that was maybe more recent or maybe it was more distressing than another, once I'm done with the session, I have to rely on my coping mechanisms. So I have to meditate. I have to take a break. I have to do something nice for myself to take myself out of that state that I'm in, because EMDR therapy can be draining. There's things that come up and emotions that you're processing that will continue to process even when your session ends. So let's say you have your session with your therapist, you're doing EMDR therapy, you go through all of the audio visual cues to talk about your incident, and the session is done. You can still have those things processing even after the fact. So what my therapist always tells me is that some of the thoughts and emotions that you bring up will continue to process. So it's important to make a note of what those things are. If new thoughts come up, maybe you'll have dreams, or maybe you have new realizations about a limiting belief or that specific situation. And, you know, it's all a part of that process, but it can be hard, you know, it can be hard. And I think that my therapist did a good job of preparing me for that and just really describing it beforehand, because we didn't just jump into EMDR therapy. We did our traditional talk therapy. She did her data collection, all the things, but she really waited until she felt I was ready, until I felt I was ready too, before we really dove into EMDR therapy. So I would say, if you are interested in EMDR therapy, to make sure that your therapist is able to prepare you for it, or even ask them, is this something that you prepare people for? What do you do before we start EMDR therapy? And just understand it, because it's not something I would recommend just jumping into straight away, especially if it's your first time and if you don't really know what's going on, because it can be a lot. Just because it's hard work, it doesn't mean it's impossible work. So it's never impossible to heal from past traumas and things that hurt you. But if you're not willing to go there and address it, it just makes it a lot harder for you in the end. I also want to address just therapy and needing additional support, because I don't know if you've experienced it, but I think that sometimes we talk to maybe certain family members or people in our lives about therapy or seeking therapy and kind of getting a third opinion, you know, just an outside opinion from somebody who doesn't personally know us. And depending on who you're having that conversation with, I think sometimes that person could take it personally, especially if it's, you know, a parent or a guardian or just another figure in your life who's kind of been there. They might, you know, get offended because it feels like, oh, you know, why aren't you talking to me about this? You know, is the support that I've given you not enough? Is the love and the attention that I've given you, is that not enough? And we got to be honest with ourselves and say that, yeah, sometimes our friends and our family and our loved ones, they can't offer us the support that we need, because we may need a professional opinion. We may need a licensed therapist to talk to us about our issues and to help us unpack and process trauma. Not all of us are licensed therapists. I give my friends advice if they ask me. I generally like to encourage and motivate and inspire other people. But at the end of the day, I'm not a therapist. I will be the one to encourage you to seek help if you need it. I will be the one to encourage you to be open and honest about what you feel, about your experiences, and to not be afraid of owning them and addressing them. But I can't give you therapy. And so therapy can be a touchy subject sometimes, depending on the community even. So if you're in a faith-based community, not everyone, but sometimes people will feel that, okay, well, if you have God, that should be enough, right? If you have God, you shouldn't need therapy. You shouldn't be anxious. You shouldn't feel this doubt. And we're human. We're going to feel our emotions. And even if you are a believer, right, you probably still have moments where you don't feel that great. But seeking therapy is not bad. Wanting to speak to a therapist does not mean that your faith is weak. It does not mean that you are not on the right path. I feel that God can use therapists to do great work, to really help you understand the things that you've gone through in the past and to help you through them. Because I know that there's only so much I can do, but I don't want to get stuck in a loop. I don't want to keep going back to these past traumas, these past triggers, and keep going through the same things. I really want to deal with them. And so EMDR therapy has been that thing for me so far. And again, it's okay to need a little more attention and care than the people in your life are able to give you, because we can only do so much. Even the most well-intentioned people in our lives, the people who really love us and really support us, there's some things that they can miss. So one other thing that we had talked about was, you know, as a kid, there's things that happen and you go through these instances and situations and the limiting beliefs form. But sometimes the limiting belief can form because of neglect. So even if you have a parent or a guardian or a figure in your life who's taking care of you and they're supporting you, there may be some holes that aren't filled and there's some attention that isn't really given. And you gotta be empathetic to those people, right? Like, I'm not talking about abuse, you know, anything that is detrimental or serious to the point of, okay, this is creating an unsafe environment for you. But even if you have a parent that loves you, they might not be able to really address and understand your insecurities, your fears, your worries, because they're juggling other things, right? They're working, they're trying to provide, trying to support. And they're also human, so they're going through their own things as well. But I think remembering that, it really humanizes the people in our lives, because nobody's perfect, but you have the ability to go through those things, to talk about them now, especially as an adult. I find that therapy has really helped me be so much more open and honest and vulnerable with the people in my life, to the point where we can have conversations about things that happened in the past and how they affect me now. And we can actually talk about our lives in a way that is mature and in a way that isn't pointing fingers at people, but really opening the door for like real healing and real understanding. The final thing I will say is that the road to becoming the highest version of yourself, it may get bumpy. It may get a little uncomfortable. It might not always be straight and narrow. There's some turns, twists, everything in between, but the journey is worth the trip and your younger self will thank you. And I think that thinking about the version of myself who was that little girl that needed maybe additional love and support, that little girl who felt confused, that little girl who felt like she didn't know what was going on, but, you know, trying her best, I think that she would be proud. I think she would be happy about the efforts I've been making. And the same thing can probably be said for you if you're interested in therapy, if you're trying to seek alternatives, if you're trying to find a way to really address the things that happened in your past that still affect you now. It's so worth it. And there's a lot of ways that you can get therapy. There's other affordable ways. There's alternatives. I'll also link that in the show notes. I had linked it in episode 5, but I'll link it here as well. As far as options that you can have, maybe more affordable options. But therapy, I think, is a really beautiful thing. It takes a lot of courage to, number one, seek help and to realize you need help. But to actually do the work, to go through these sessions, to have these tough conversations, to process trauma and really heal and remove limiting beliefs from yourself, it's hard work. But I commend anybody who decides to do something for themselves that's going to impact them in such a huge way. And I'm definitely a big advocate for therapy, for seeking therapy. So if you need a nudge, you need someone to tell you, hey, go for it, it's probably going to help you, you know, I could be that person for you. Thank you so much for listening to me chat about my experience with EMDR therapy. It is very unique. It's different than anything I've ever done, but I've been seeing a lot of benefits from it. And so hopefully this helps answer any questions that anybody had about what EMDR therapy is. But with that, let's get into the affirmations for this episode. I am worthy of healing. I allow myself to get the help that I need. I don't judge myself for having feelings and emotions. I am allowed to do whatever it takes to be and feel better. Thank you again for tuning into this episode. And if you are interested and you like this topic and you think somebody else would be interested in it too, feel free to share this episode with a friend. And you can also follow the podcast on Instagram at Words With Me Podcast. You can also read the latest blog posts at www.wordswithmepodcast.com. And if you've been enjoying this, feel free to rate and review the podcast. It is a great way to get the podcast to more eyes, to build this community. And so I would appreciate that if you are interested. And you can also follow my monthly newsletter and subscribe, called The Open Invitation, where I take creating and cultivating community to a new level. And thank you again for being here. It's great to talk about therapy and kind of provide a resource, I guess you could say. But with that, I hope you have a great rest of your day.